In Christ Church, good to be with you. Welcome back to Whoville this week. Glad to have you joining us in worship, whether you're online or whether you're right here. I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and pull out your Christ Church notes. You'll find those in your worship program this morning. Also, there's a tab on the screen that you can print these out. Follow along as well. You'll need a pen or pencil this week, that's for sure. There are a number of blanks I'm going to be asking you to fill out along the way. You'll want to be able to do that as we follow along. You know, today I'm going to be talking a bit about fear. You know, and I think, you know, if I would venture to say that the most uncomfortable human emotion that we have is fear. Most uncomfortable human emotion that we experience is fear. You know, and we learn to fear from the time that we're kids. You know, a lot of kids are afraid of the dark. Some are afraid of separation anxiety, somehow being separated or getting out of sight of mom and dad, you know. As kids grow up, of course, these fears begin to change. As young adults, we're afraid of not finding the right career or not finding the right life partner. As teens, or we're fearful of not being accepted by the in crowd. As adults, we're afraid of, are we going to have enough money to be able to support our family? You know, are our kids going to be safe? You know, as older adults, we begin to fear for our health, or we begin to fear of maybe losing our independence. You know, but fear is an uncomfortable human emotion that we all share. We all share that uncomfortableness of fear. You know, there was a recent study I saw this week that listed out the top five fears that adults have. And do you, anybody want to take a guess as the number one fear that adults have? What is it? That I heard it. Public speaking. Speaking in public is the number one fear that adults have, according to this survey. You know, the interesting thing is that the number three fear is death, you know, which means that you'd rather die than do the eulogy. You know, I mean, to me, you know, there's something wrong with that, I think. You know, when you rather die than do the eulogy. Well, you know, today we're going to see what God has to say about our irrational fears and the kind of damage, actually, that our irrational fears do to us. And then we're going to then see how to overcome those fears. What God has to say about helping us to overcome all those fears. And today I'm going to illustrate that problem with fear that many of us have with this Dr. Seuss story called What Was I Scared Of? What was I scared of? You know, it's a little-known Dr. Seuss book. It's not near as popular as, you know, Green Eggs and Ham or Fox and Socks or the Horton Hears a Who and all of that. But it's a fascinating story, and it really goes well to illustrate what the Lord has to say and what the Scriptures have to say about our irrational fear. You know, there are only two characters in the whole story. The first being this childlike being. I'm going to call this childlike being Creature. That's what I'm going to call this in the sermon today. And then there's a pair of green pants. There they are. A pair of unembodied green pants. The only two characters in the whole story, Creature and these green pants. Now, Creature was going for a walk one night and happened to see this pair of green pants off in the distance. Immediately, Creature turns and begins to run as fast as his little legs will take him. And he keeps telling himself all along the way, "I'm not afraid of green pants. I'm not afraid of green pants." But no matter how often he says it, no matter how convincing he tries to be, he just can't get to that place where he's not afraid of those green pants. It just doesn't seem to work. Every time he sees them, he runs away. Now, Here's the deal. Creech's fear of these green pants begins to control his life, begins to have a negative impact on his life. You know, he no longer goes to the places he used to go to. He no longer does the things he used to enjoy doing. He doesn't any longer go to Greenwich to pick his green spinach. He doesn't even go fishing anymore because guess what? Those green pants have somehow learned to row a boat. You know, he can't sleep. He can't relax. He can't quiet his mind anymore. And eventually, what Creature does is spend all day and all night hiding in the bushes, afraid. Afraid of what? A pair of green pants. Well, we're going to start by taking a look at what the Scripture has to say, and then we'll pick the story up. And I'll tell you the rest of the story a little bit later. We're going to start with Psalm 34, verse 4. Let's look at it together. We're going to say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. That's what King David had to say. He had plenty of reasons to be afraid over his life. But he said, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Now, David Foster, in his book, Accept No Mediocre Life, says that the late Ann Landers, the advice columnist, received more than 10,000 letters every day. And she was asked one time, what is the most common problem you're asked to address? And she said, without hesitation, fear. Fear was the most common problem she was asked to address during her time as this advice columnist. Now, David Foster went on to say this about fear. Listen to this. He said, fear adds up your shortcomings, subtracts from your strengths, multiplies your worries, and divides your mind. He goes on to say that fear is a bottomless pit where all things noble go to die, and all things beautiful are made ugly, end quote. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about fear. And today I want us to take a look and see what the Scriptures have to say about our irrational fears, the damages that they do to us, and then how can we overcome these fears. So let's take a look at the damage. Number one, here's the first thing. Fear limits my potential. Let's say it together. Ready? Fear limits my potential. That's what fear does, folks. Hear it clearly. Fear will limit your potential. It limits your potential. It limits my potential. Fear disables my abilities. It incapacitates my capacities, and it causes me to miss opportunities. That's what fear does. Disables my abilities, incapacitates my capacities, and causes me to miss opportunities. You know, let me ask you, have you ever dreamed about something, of doing something, and still to this day, you haven't done it because you were afraid to try? You know, a lot of people deal with that. You dream about doing something. You've wanted to do it, but even today you haven't done it because you've been afraid to give it a shot. You know, baseball great Babe Ruth, here's a quote from him. He said, never let the fear of striking out get in your way. Never let the fear of striking out get in your way. You know, I think that's great advice. You know, fear of striking out always will limit your potentials. You know, when you think about it, you know, why in the world did the Israelites wander for 40 years in the Promised Land? Well, I can tell you that, you know, kind of a bottom line was they were afraid of striking out when they got there. That's the reason they wandered. They refused to go into the Promised Land. They were afraid of the people over there. They were afraid that they were going to be overcome. They were afraid that they would not be able to take them, even though God had promised to be with them every step of the way. You know, they were afraid of striking out. And I got to tell you, the disciples, well, you know, right after Easter, after the Lord had conquered death, they weren't even any better. Check this out. Gospel of John chapter 20, verse 19 says this. The disciples were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And on the evening of that same Sunday, you know, What was that? That was Easter, right? So on the evening of Easter, so the Lord had already risen from the dead, already conquered death, they locked themselves in a room. They locked themselves in a room. You know, that was Easter Sunday. They had a lot to share. They had good news to celebrate. But where were they? They were locked inside a room. Folks, let me tell you, you will never live up to your potential living in a locked room. Hear it? You will never live up to your potential if you're living in a locked room. You'll never reach your potential if you're afraid to take any kind of calculated risk. You know, in fact, I was thinking about this week. Most of us wouldn't even be here at Christ Church if the leaders of this church in our early days had been afraid to take some calculated risk. When I think about it, you know, it was a huge risk to sell our building over on Glen Eagles Lane, the very first church we ever built, to buy this property and then to build our campus over here. This was a huge, huge, huge risk. And, you know, over the past 2 years, we've continued to take calculated risks in order to be difference makers for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what this church has done. All throughout our history, and even in the last 2 years, I was thinking about it this week. You know, we're taking a risk of faith to launch our online campus, bring another pastor on board, but it's a risk of faith, a calculated risk of faith. But we're already reaching more than 200 people every week, and we haven't even officially launched our online campus. You know, we're taking a risk of faith to launch a full-time, inclusive, best-in-class ministry for those who are differently abled. You know, that takes a risk to step out in faith like that. And that's exactly what we're doing. You know, we're taking a risk in faith to build a school over in Kenya. You know, we've already purchased the land. We built the first floor. And now I just got a picture this week. Go ahead and put it on the screen. They're starting the stairwell, the exterior stairwell, to what will be the second floor. We're getting ready to put the second floor up on our school in order to house all 300 children there in that one building. You know, it looks pretty bad right there, but that's the forms they're using to pour the concrete. And that's what we're doing in a desperately poor area of Kenya in order to break the cycle of poverty. And that's what we're doing as a church. We're doing that too. It's a risk. It's a risk of faith that we're stepping out. You know, we're taking a risk of faith this coming summer by offering 8 to 10 weeks of full-day summer camp for kids. You know, it's a risk of faith that we're stepping out in. But you know, you think about it. I would rather be a part of a church that tries something and fails rather than being a part of a church that does nothing and exceeds in that. You know? Amen? Yeah, absolutely. I would rather have a failure, pronounce that little ministry dead, throw a pall over it, and move on to something else rather than do absolutely nothing and succeed greatly in doing exactly that. It's a part of moving forward in faith. You see, what fear does, look at this again. Fear limits my potential, not only within the church life, but in your own life. We've got to figure this stuff out. It's damage that happens when we allow fear to consume us and fear to control us. So fear will always limit your potential. Let's look at number two. Fear wrecks relationships. Let's say it together. Fear wrecks relationships. That's right. Fear wrecks your relationships. Matter of fact, we find it right in the very beginning, first book in the Bible, all the way in the book of Genesis, in the creation story. You have the story of Adam and Eve. They've disobeyed God. They've eaten from the tree of knowledge. They shouldn't have done that. Now God shows up looking for Adam and Eve, and guess where they are? They're hiding in the bushes, hiding from God in the bushes. Matter of fact, here it is, Genesis 3:10. Adam says, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. So what did he do? So I hid. Take your pen or pencil and circle the word hid. Circle that word right now. Go ahead and circle that word. You know, Adam and Eve were hiding from God, and that's exactly what fear does to us. Fear makes us hide from God, and fear makes us hide from each other. Hide from God and hiding from other. Fear causes you to hide. It causes you to wear masks, pretending that you're somebody that you're not. Fear causes you to lie. Fear wrecks your relationships. You see, people who live constantly in fear find it incredibly difficult to receive love and to give love. That's what fear does to us. It keeps us from receiving it and keeps us from giving love. It wrecks your relationships. It keeps you from making commitments. It wrecks your relationships. So what does fear do? It steals my, limits my potential. It wrecks my relationships. Here's the third thing. Fear also steals my joy. Let's say it. Fear steals my joy. That's right. Fear steals my joy. Not only does it limit my potential, not only does it wreck my relationships, but fear steals my joy. Matter of fact, wise old King Solomon had this to say. He said this in Proverbs 12:25. He said, "Worry can rob you of happiness." Circle rob right there. That's what it does. It steals my joy. It robs me of happiness. Wise old King Solomon, and that's what he had to say. Check out what King David had to say next. Psalm 55, verse 2 says, "I am worn out by my worries." I am worn out by my worries. Circle worn out. Circle worn out. Have you ever been worn out by your worries? I mean, can I get a witness? You know, I tell you, yeah, it's been said that more people are worn out by their worries than they are by their work. Because worrying is exhausting. Worrying is exhausting. You know, just think about this for a second. Just think about this. How many genuinely happy people do you know who are consumed by worry? Probably not too many. Probably not too many. I can't think of anybody. You know why? Because fear consumes my thoughts. Fear consumes and influences my actions. And it causes us, me and you, to imagine things that are not there. That's what fear does. It causes us to imagine things that just flat out aren't there. It limits my potential. Fear wrecks my relationships. Fear steals my joy. And let me tell you, that's the exact same thing that happened to that little creature in the Dr. Seuss story. You know, I imagine that some of you can relate to this little guy right here. You know, your fears are keeping you from accomplishing the things that you want to do. And it keeps you from accomplishing your full potential. There are places that you'd like to go, people that you'd like to get to know, things that you'd like to do, but you're paralyzed by fear. You're paralyzed by fear. Maybe God is calling you to serve in a particular ministry, and you feel that call, but you're afraid to step across the line. You're afraid to do something about it. You're afraid to make the commitment to get into the ministry, to take that step of faith. Folks, I want you to write this down. Here it is, and that is this. Theologically speaking, the opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of fear is faith, theologically speaking. I want you to write that down. You see, having faith in our all-powerful, all-loving God does not necessarily remove all of our fears, but here's what it does. Having faith in our all-powerful, all-loving, and most incredible God gives us the discipline, the confidence, and the courage to move forward in spite of our fears. That's what faith does. Doesn't necessarily remove every fear that we have, but gives us the confidence and the discipline and the courage to move forward in spite of our fears. Our faith reminds us, you know, that God loves us and there is no place safer than being in the center of God's will. No place safer than being in the center of God's will for your life. So besides a sold out, genuine relationship with Jesus, there are two things that have the power to drive out fear in our life. Besides our relationship with Christ, two things that drive out fear from our lives. And we need to know this. These are antidotes to fear. You can see the damage that fear does to our life. It limits my potential. It wrecks my relationships. It steals my joy. How do I deal with that? Faith, and here's the next thing, is truth. Write that down, please. It's truth. 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 Matter of fact, what did Jesus have to say? John 8:32. Jesus said, let's say it together. You will know the truth, and the truth will There it will. The truth will set you free. And right here in this case, I'm referring to how the truth can set you free from your fears. The truth, knowing the truth, can set you free from your fears. You know, in a recent article called The Science of Fear, it stated that out of all of the fears and all of the phobias in life, there are only two that are innate in us, that we are born with. That we're born with two particular fears, according to this article called The Science of Fear. What are those two fears? The first one is the fear of falling. And the second one is the fear of loud noises. Two fears that we're born with. The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Now, the article goes on to say that every other fear and every other phobia that we have has been learned. Hear that? Every other fear and every other phobia that we have has been a learned behavior. Most of the fears we have, we allow to consume us and control us. They're irrational. Those fears that consume us and control us are irrational. And these would be fears that you learned from your parents, or you learned from a movie you picked up while reading a novel, maybe some words that your friends had to say, maybe from watching TV. But you've learned these other kinds of fears. The only two that are born into us, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises, and every other fear has been a learned fear. But here's good news for you. And that is, if you can learn them, you can then unlearn them. You can unlearn these irrational fears. And how do you unlearn the irrational fears? You do it by confronting them with the truth, by shining the light of truth upon them. In fact, here's a definition of fear. Go ahead and put it on the screen. Fear says, it's false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. That's a good definition, I think, of fear. One of my best friends has quoted this to me over and over again, what his grandmother used to tell him. He said, you know, Steve, the worst thing that ever happened to me never did. That's what she used to tell him. The worst thing that ever happened to me never did. You know, and I think, you know, grandma's right. Matter of fact, one study had this to say, that 40% of all the fears that we have are about the future and never happen. 30% of all your fears are about the past and you can't change them. 12% of the fears you have are about health problems that you don't even have yet. 10% are petty fears that aren't even worth worrying about. And only 8% of the fears that we have are legit, but can be handled by taking appropriate action. That's what the study showed. You know, it's amazing how many things that go bump in the night absolutely disappear the moment you turn the light on. And that's what happens when you shine the light of truth on some of these fears that are holding you back. Some of your fears that are limiting your God-given potential. Fears that are destroying the relationships that you have. Fears that are stealing your happiness, stealing your joy, robbing you of happiness and stealing your joy. You shine the light of truth. For when you know the truth then sets you free. Shine the light of truth on these irrational fears. Stop living in locked rooms. Here's the last one, and it's love. Want an antidote to fear? First one's truth, and the second one is love. Truth and love, antidotes to fear. Matter of fact, check this out. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Matter of fact, remember that reference. 1 John chapter 4, 18, because I got a story to tell you in just a second. But here it says, love contains, matter of fact, let's read it together. Ready? Love contains no fear. Indeed, fully developed love expels every particle of fear. That's right. Fully developed love expels every particle of fear. The story that I was going to tell, remember, that's 1 John 4:18. In other words, fear and love can't coexist. Here's the story I was going to tell you. I was reading this week. It seems that when Rick Warren, who's pastor at Saddleback Church in California, was dating his now wife, he wrote her a love letter. And at the end, he had signed "Love, Rick," and then in the bottom, he thought he had written 1 John 4:18. You know, fully developed love casts out every particle of fear. He thought he had written that. And he thought, that's great, you know, that that's exactly what happened. You know, when you're sold out, fully developed love, there's no reason to be afraid. Well, he thought that's what he had written. His wife got the note, or his girlfriend at that time got the note, and he said she was furious at him. He called her. She wouldn't take his calls. She wouldn't speak to him. She said, he said, I couldn't figure out what was going on. For 2 weeks, they had zero communication until finally he got her to take the call. And she said, I am so angry at you. And he said, well, why? He said, well, what is this reference you put down here? John 4:18. He left out the number one in front of it. John 4:18. And he said, John 4:18? He went back and looked it up, and it said that Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And and it says, and I quote, the fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you're now living with is not your husband either. We need to get our references right. 1 John 4:18. Okay, here's how love conquers fear, folks. Love conquers fear when I receive God's love for me. Yes, it does. It conquers fear when I receive God's love for me. When I receive God's love for me. You know, I need to know that God loves me. I need to accept it. I need to receive it. And the fact is, folks, you know, God knows the things that you fear. He knows the things that I fear. And when you and I trust in his love, he gives us the courage and strength to confront those things in love with the truth. It's an antidote to fear. When I accept the love of God for me, when I'm living in God's amazing grace and his love, he gives me the courage and the strength to confront my fear with truth and with love. You know, sometimes we can do that on our own. We can confront it on our own. Sometimes we need to find the help of a Christian counselor, somebody who can walk alongside of us, who will pray with us, who will help us to come to an understanding of what's rational and what's irrational. But I have to receive this love. It's part of the journey, folks. It's part of the journey. Here's the second and the last thing I want to tell you. Love conquers fear when I offer love to other people, when I'll offer love to others. It conquers fear. Love conquers fear when I offer this love that I've received back to others? You know, I read this week, there are three ways you can move in life. Listen to this. Three ways you can move in life. You can move against something in anger. You can move away from something in fear. Or you can move toward something in love. Away from something in anger. Or against something in anger. Away from something in fear. Or toward something in love. You see, a life lived in the love of God and others eliminates much of the fear that limits your potential, that wrecks my relationships, that robs me and steals me of my joy. Let's close this up by going back to the Dr. Seuss story for a moment. You see, Creature was in fear of these green pants, and this unrational fear was ruining Creature's life. And so one evening he was hiding in a snide bush, and here's what happened. And there I was, caught in the snide, in that dreadful place, those spooky, empty pants and I were standing face to face. I yelled for help. I screamed. I shrieked. I howled. I yowled. I cried. Oh, save me from these pale green pants with nobody on the inside. But then a strange thing happened, and those pants began to cry. Those pants began to tremble. They were just as scared as I. I never heard such whimpering, and I began to see that I was just as strange to them as they were strange to me. And I put my arm around their waist. I sat right down beside them. I calmed them down, poor empty pants with nobody inside them. And now we meet quite often, those empty pants and I. We never shake or tremble. We both smile and we say hi. And you think about it. What are your fears? What are the fears that are consuming you? You know, so often, you know what we find? Is that our fears are as empty as a pair of green pants. They're just as empty as a pair of green pants. What is it that's limiting your potential, that's keeping you from living up to what God has created you to be and who God wants you to become? What are those fears that are robbing you of your happiness and wrecking the relationships that are so important in our lives? You know, when we confront those fears with faith, in truth and in love, when we shine the light of truth, it's amazing in that light how many of our fears just go away. I encourage you, stop running. Stop running from your fear. Faith will win every time. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord. You know, God, you are so incredible to us. You have come to wipe out our fear. In fact, your word says that perfect love drives out fear. And that's what we have in you, Lord. We have perfect love. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for those in this room who are consumed by their fears, who are living like the disciples on that first Easter in locked rooms. That's limiting what it is that you have for them. Limits their potential. It's wrecking friendships and relationships and robs them of their joy. Heavenly Father, We know that so many of our fears are just flat out irrational. And we've learned them. We pray, God, that you would give us the confidence and the courage and what it is that we need to confront our fears, to unlearn the things that hold us back, that keep us from serving you, that keep us from being in ministry, that keep us from reaching out in love and concern to the world. So, Lord Jesus, come. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, come. Replace the fear in our life with a genuine faith in you, that we may stand strong, stop running, and move toward our fears and confront them. May we be healed of all that hold us back. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.